Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Man, I hope that you're having a good morning there at home or afternoon or evening, whenever you're listening to this or watching this. We are excited to have you here in church and can't wait to actually have you back in the building, but not quite yet. We're going to get to that. But I'm just really excited about this message that I believe God has given us for this morning. We are 1 week closer, obviously, to be able to come back together, which is really exciting, 1 week closer. And we, as Matt said before, we just want to really encourage you to begin to do that as you feel comfortable. And if you're able to come together with people in your home or find somewhere to do church together, that would be a really great start. Come and grab some communion cups and you can take communion together and do that as a church body. It would be really fantastic. So just so you know, the restrictions are lifting to 20 people from tomorrow. So that means you can have 20 people in your home. Again, this is all where you're comfortable to do that. 20 people are allowed in your home. And also 20 people are allowed here for a worship service as well, which is really exciting. Not quite enough to actually run church for us, but it is really great. So we just wanted to say that if you're at all sick or if you are, what's the word? If you're at a higher risk, if you're at a higher risk through any of this time, then please stay home and we will actually do everything that we can to continue to allow you to do church and do life groups and do everything that you can at home as well. So while we appreciate that we can come back together in some aspects, we also appreciate that that's not okay for everyone and we're going to continue to do both. So we are really excited to continue to do community together. I hope you are. Now, I was going to tell a joke this morning. Oh, I know. Someone has already said no. There were groans with regard to this joke that I was going to share, and then I scrubbed it out of my notes. So I just don't think I'm going to do it. All right. Oh man, I shouldn't have set it up. I shouldn't have even spoke about it. All right, here's the joke. All right, you ready? I shared this with a few people, and I got some groans. So let's just see how we go. So this joke was sent in by someone from church, which is great. Thank you for sending it in. There was a pastor, a priest, and a rabbit, and after coronavirus is all gone, they walked into McDonald's, and the person behind the counter, they were hungry, the person behind the counter went to the pastor, said, "What do you want?" And if it was me, I would have said a quarter pounder meal, and the priest wanted something else, and finally they got to the rabbit, and the person behind the counter said, "Rabbit, what would you like to eat?" And the rabbit looked at him and said, "I don't actually think I should be here. I think I'm just here because of autocorrect." Do you get it? If you don't get it, Google autocorrect and then you'll know what it is. But anyway, on with the message. So let's just take a moment before we actually get into the word, and we're just going to pray. We're going to reset from that joke. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the joy that can be in us through any circumstance based on the knowledge that you are Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we come around your word today, that Father, our hearts would be soil that is ready to receive what you have to give to us. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you are continuing to do in us, Lord God, and we are excited for what is to come. So Father, we thank you that we can come and meet together today. We thank you for all of this that's happening, and we pray a blessing upon it. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So you may have seen in the news this week that there has been a new venture going on between NASA in the States and a private company called SpaceX. This has made some news, if you weren't aware. And on Thursday this week, there was a mission planned to send two astronauts from American soil, which was the first time for them in a few years, up into orbit to meet the International Space Station. And so they were scheduled to go up at 5:22 a.m., I think it was, on Thursday morning our time. And the weather wreaked havoc with them, so they didn't go. But this was rescheduled for this morning at 5:22. And they actually launched at 5:22 this morning on this rocket up into space. And if you show that picture, Cayman, like, this is going to be their view from the International Space Station for a few months. And as I look at this picture, obviously you can see the bright sun there in the distance, and that's what we're going to focus on today. But we see these photos every now and then. If you've got an Apple TV, the screensaver just rolls and you still look at it as a screensaver. But every time I look at this photo now, I just am in awe of God's just majesty with regard to the universe. And we're going to look a little bit at that today. Space, it's beyond what we see just from our vantage point. And this is becoming increasingly fascinating to me the more I look at it. And I think it's one of the subjects that, is, if you dive deeper into this subject, the more you see the glory of God in creation. So this series that we're in, Nick and Aaron mentioned it this morning, is called Conditions for Growth, from our overarching theme for this year being grow. That if we're serious about growing in our own lives, we need to actually position ourselves for that growth. That if 2020 is going to be a growth year for us, even with everything that's going on at the moment, which none of us planned that was going to happen, that we do need to actually put ourselves in a position to have that growth going. The first week we looked at good soil, the importance of having good soil, which is our hearts, that soft heart that is ready to receive the seed that is sown. That as we have ears to hear and a heart to receive and feet that are ready to go and make a difference, we will see that seed grow. Last week, Pastor Graham shared a great message with us about water, the importance of water, our second condition. And he reminded us that growth is biotic, meaning that if all of the ingredients are in place, then all we need to do is watch whatever we've planted grow. As we allow the seed to be watered by our faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to fill the dry areas, we will indeed see growth. Remember when he talked about H2O, two parts Holy Spirit and one part us. And I know that we laughed a little bit about it last week, but think about your week that's just been. How much of that was led by the Holy Spirit and how much was led by us in our own strength? Did we allow him to take the lead when it comes to our growth this year? And so as I alluded to a little bit earlier, this week I have really enjoyed this subject and studying this. I'm excited to share on our third condition for growth, which is the sun. There is a very old book written in 1981, like ages ago, 1981, called A Meeting with the Universe. And this is written by NASA scientists, and they endeavored to write about this, the scientific discovery to that point when it came to space. And in relation to the sun, they wrote this: "Nothing is more important to us on Earth than the sun. Without the sun's heat and light, the Earth would be a lifeless ball of ice-coated rock. The sun warms our seas, it stirs our atmosphere, generates our weather patterns, and gives energy to the growing green plants that provide the food and oxygen for life on Earth." See, the sun is not just helpful when it comes to growth. The sun is critical when it comes to growth. As I was writing this, I actually paused for a moment and I took a walk outside and I just looked up at the sun. I didn't look actually like directly at the sun. That's dangerous. You shouldn't, kids, don't look at the sun. It is very dangerous, actually. I looked into it and it is dangerous. And to be honest, I stood there for a moment and I just felt that little bit of warmth on my face, and I was just in awe of God's creation. You know, you have those moments sometimes where it just gets you, and it did at that moment, that this giant ball of gas that is in effect setting off 1.8 billion nuclear bombs every second to provide all of the energy for the life on Earth, not just to have the energy there, but for life to thrive, was causing this little bit of warmth to be on my face. It was amazing to me. So as I read a couple of these things, I want your minds to be open. Don't just think about it in terms of what you see outside and go, "Oh, that's nice." But allow this to have a bit of gravity for you. So the sun is 150 million kilometers away from us. And to put that into perspective, we measure it by light. Light is the thing that travels, and we measure it by that. From the device that you're looking at right now, whether it's your TV or a phone or whatever it is, to your eyes, the light coming from that takes about a nanosecond to get to your eyes. As the sun reflects from the moon, now the moon is 384,000 kilometers away. And just to put that into perspective for you, if you decided to drive from here to the moon, it would take you roughly 6 months to get there if you were to drive there nonstop. 6 months to get to the moon. And the light that reflects off the sun, the moon, to our eyes when we see it actually takes about a second. So it's not that long, a second. But the sun, this is how far away the sun is. The sun, it takes an average of 8 minutes and 20 seconds for the light that is in the sun to come down and meet our eyes. Now, what that means is that if the sun was to all of a sudden cease to exist now, it would take 8 minutes and 20 seconds before we'd even know about it. It could be gone, and then in 8 minutes we would go, oh, we need to turn the lights on and we need to put a jumper on because it's freezing cold right now. And so in effect, when you look at the sun outside, you're effectively looking back in time because that's where the light came from. If you look at the nearest star to us apart from the sun, this is the last one, don't worry. How do you say that? Yeah, everyone says it differently. Alpha Centauri. Is that right? That'll do. Alpha Centauri. That's what it is. The next closest star. The light coming from Alpha Centauri to us takes 4 years to get here. So you're looking back 4 years in time if you look at Alpha Centauri. And now go outside tonight and look at the amount of stars that are up there and just have your mind blown when you think about that. It is crazy. And like I said before, the more you dive into it, the more you understand the greatness of our God, how huge, how amazing He is. And today, though we are talking about the sun, we're actually going to be looking at the truth of that statement in another light, that the sun is the most important thing to life here on earth, but how true that statement is when it comes to the sun as well, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Positioning ourselves with a view and under the effects of Christ is essential to the right type of growth, healthy growth. So the scripture we're going to look at today, our key passage for this morning is out of John 15. We're going to read from 1 to 5. It'll come up on your screens or grab your Bible out now. John 15, 1 to 5. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this is our key verse for the day. In verse 5, Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, which he's talking about this intimate and organic relationship, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Just as the sun is key to our energy and growth in the physical, the sun, Jesus, is the key to our energy and growth in the spiritual. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And it is God's desire for all of us, for each one of us, to continue to grow in our relationship with him, our walk with him. It's his desire for us. So today I want to just break down three different aspects of the Son and how Jesus, the Son of God, brings these into our life also. So the first one, ready? Write it down, the first one. And we'd all think of this immediately, we wouldn't think about the Son, light. The first one is light. And there's two aspects of light that we want to look at today. The first, I think, is pretty obvious. And if you've ever gotten up in the middle of the night to either go to the toilet or to turn a light off, or if you've got young kids, to go into a kid's bedroom, no doubt you've experienced this. In the pitch black, you get up and I'm a bit worse because I have contact lenses and I take my glasses off, and so I don't put them on every time when I get up in the middle of the night. So even if there is a little bit of light, I can't see. And I'm like a wall feeler. Is anyone a wall feeler at home in the middle of the night? Yeah, a few people. And you just like slide your hand along every wall. And I've had a few times myself where I have put my hands out in front of me, and I don't know, I'm walking around like a zombie at night times. And I have met the door cavity, and it has come right through the middle of me before I've hit it in the middle. Stupid. But the worse than that is when a child has left a toy on the floor, and it's a big heavy toy, and you just go and you just boot that thing. And I don't know if you've ever tried to be quiet when it's been impossible to be quiet because there's children that are sleeping and you don't want to wake them up and you just kicked something so hard and you internalize the noise. That's exactly what happens for me when I'm doing that sort of thing. So light is so important for the basic reason that it shows us what we're doing. We can see what we're doing when there's light. And just the same, Jesus is the light that shows us where we're going. He illuminates the dangers. He lights up the path we need to go through his words that we find in the Bible. Let's look at John 8 and verse 12. It's on the screen here. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I know that when it comes to following someone lead, there's a certain element of trust in the person that we're following, especially even more so if there's darkness around. You trust that they actually know where they're going in the first place. And Jesus says here that when you follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. And here's something that helps us to understand what the light of life actually is. The light of Christ, I read this, the light of Christ is the brightness of God shining on the retina of the human soul. The light of Christ is the brightness of God shining on the retina of the human soul. Life can be wonderful on earth, but not fully complete without Jesus. We're all created to crave the Creator, our Father. And only through relationship with our Savior, Jesus, can the dark parts of our hearts brighten. When I admit that I am not enough, I'm freed to run and cling to the God who is. Jesus provides light for us to see not only our path to growth, but our path back to God. Salvation. May the glory be to God as the dark areas of our lives are illuminated and restored through the love of Jesus. There's no shadow he won't light up in his love for you. And secondly, not only does light enable us to see where we're going, but I want to take you back to perhaps year 9 or 10 biology for a second. The light's effect on something we called photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. Photosynthesis in plants is effectively the capture, the transformation, and then the dispersion of light energy that comes from the sun. So that not only does it feed the plant under the light, but it provides a service to humanity by taking the carbon dioxide in and releasing the oxygen out. There is so much more to it, but I think that is so cool. The capture, the transformation, and then the dispersion of that light energy. And as a Christian, we need to put ourselves in a position under the sun that not only are we fed and not only do we grow, but that others are able to benefit from the growing that happens in us. I'm sure you've seen it as you have grown, that it has enabled you to assist others and to be a blessing to others around you. Honestly, that's part of the reason why we encourage life groups so much, that we want you to get involved in a life group or a connect group at the moment as well, is because coming together, we are able to actually be a support to one another through the good times and through the hard times in those groups. And so they are so important. If you're not in a life group, I encourage you to get stuck into one as we open them back up over the next few months. And Jesus is our source in all this. So number one, light. The second step I want to look to is seasons. The second thing to know about the sun is that it plays a part in seasons. When we talk about growth in most aspects, we measure it by what we see naturally, which is totally fine. But it sometimes doesn't give us a full picture about what's actually happening. There is growth even in the unseen. Tomorrow, June 1, is the first day of winter here in Australia. And let's look at that next picture. Thanks, Cayman. Autumn. Does anyone love autumn? Is anyone a big fan of autumn? I've got one hand in the room. Two, three hands. Four. There's a few people that really enjoy autumn. The leaves falling down. I actually don't enjoy it because I've got to pick up all the leaves. But hey, I understand that autumn makes for beautiful photos like that. And then, so that's today. And then tomorrow, this is the next one, the next photo. And then we get winter. And does anyone in the room enjoy winter? Yeah, there is a few people. There's more people that enjoy winter. What's wrong with you? I don't know. Like, anyway, cold and wet. I mean, you get snow, so that's a good thing. But this is Melbourne in winter, and typically what we see. With the seasons come different conditions, as we see, and nearly all of this, all of this is a result of the sun. The heat from the sun evaporates the water from the ground, forming clouds, and when it gets too heavy, bam, we have rain. We have winter in Melbourne. And here's the thought. Every season of growth has a purpose. Every season of growth has a purpose. Summer is a growth season for plants. The abundance of light and heat stimulates growth, and those plants go ahead and make food for the future. Autumn, we see the leaves begin to fall. The growth slows down, and there's somewhat of a consolidation within the trees. In winter, there's shorter days and a reliance on what has been stored up in the warmer weather. And in spring, there's that new... Is anyone a spring person? Anyone enjoy spring? Unless you get hay fever, you kind of enjoy spring. Where new growth comes, where multiplication happens, the warm weather comes in and there's water still in the soil. And it's perfect. Perfect moments for growth when it comes to spring. However, there is purpose in all of the seasons. And the sun is there through all of them. I don't know what season that you feel like you're in at the moment, but I want you to know that Jesus is not only there in the midst of it, but there is purpose in this season for you. That there is life in this season for you. Perspective is an amazing thing. I was driving home from church last year. It was about this time, in a couple of weeks, same time last year, and we were driving home from church. Judah and Olive were in the car, and we live at the foot of Mount Dandenong in Montrose, and we were driving towards our house, and the whole morning after we'd been at church, and it was just kind of a normal morning in Chirnside in winter where the fog was just thick. There was no, you could not see any sky. It was just thick right throughout. And we got home about lunchtime and it was still just thick. And I could see when we got home, it's just a little bit elevated. I could see just this glimpse of blue sky through the haze. And I said to the kids, oh, we'll go for a drive and see if it clears the further we get up. And so we drove and we continued to drive up the mountain, and about 10 minutes we were up the top of Mount Dandenong, and we go out to this area, and we could see it was blue sky by that point. And we went out to the part where we have a view of the city. And so the first photo, thanks guys, this is a few years ago. This is Olive when she was a little smaller. And you can see right above her head towards the left there is the city. So you can see the vantage point. And so that's a normal view of the city from the top of Mount Dandenong. And on this day where the cloud was happening, we punched through and this is what you could see. You could just see a sea of clouds. It was one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen. Those clouds right in the distance just looked like this wave coming down the sea. It was incredible. From our vantage point before, all we could see was cloud. Where's the sun? We could not see it at all. But as we began to climb, we were reminded that though we couldn't see it, the sun was shining all along. And I want you to be encouraged today that even if you feel like you're in a cloud and you feel like it's thick and it's cold and it's dark, the sun is still shining. Jesus is still Lord in your life and in this world. And even in the midst of this pandemic, I don't know if it's crossed your mind at any point during this, God, where are you? God, what are you doing through this? I want you to know that Jesus is still Lord. Nothing can change that fact. That's perspective. That's what we can live through, knowing that the sun is still shining. He has purpose for us and for His glory in every season, and He's leading us through it. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a beautiful song that I've been listening to this week by a band called United Pursuit, and the song is called Seasons Change. And one of the lines says, though the seasons change, your love remains. Jesus is there through every season, and he is there for you today. He will be there for you tomorrow and every day after that. The third aspect, and the final one for today that I want to talk about, is that of gravity. This amazing force called gravity. In ancient history, there are a number of references to the fact that from our point of view on Earth here, the sun basically generally rises in the east and sets in the west. And many assume that the sun, as we look at it, the sun was moving across the sky. There are many instances of us learning about people who worshipped the sun. They saw it and they understood the importance of the sun to life, and many began to worship the sun as God, the thing that sustained their life here on earth. And there were beliefs that there was this being that was sort of driving a boat. They didn't call it driving a boat. Was on a boat paddling. I don't know what they were doing. A sun across the sky, and that's what he was doing. Check this out. The sun's gravitational pull, along with the momentum of the earth spinning around it at 108,000 kilometers an hour, is what keeps all of this on earth we see happening at a healthy level. In fact, we, the earth, we know this from our textbooks, orbit the sun, which is the center. See, we move around the center. And how often we listen to the lie that the enemy sows to us, telling us that it's all about us. That it's all about what makes me feel good. You should do what makes you feel good. You should do what you want to do. That it's about building a life for me, with me at the center. And you may see some so-called growth out of living this way, or you may see success in the eyes of the world, and you may build a happy life for yourself in the end. But we've missed the point if we have ourselves at the center of all of that. Jesus, the Son, is the center. He is the light. He is there through every season. And he is the center. Life in 2020 speaks to this very point. The fact that every time you write down a date, 2020, you're acknowledging a man who lived on earth. And that all of history is split by this man who came to earth for us. That just speaks to his impact on this earth. This right here is the majesty of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:17. Come on, let's listen to this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, surpassing all others. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, cares enough for you and for me that he came to earth to die for our sins. Like, because he wanted to bring us back into relationship with the Father. That is the amazing love of Christ. Honestly, I hope we continue to spread our wings as we've seen today, as space people, to head out there. Because I have no doubt that the more we venture, the more we will see the unending majesty of a mighty God who is so big and yet cares for each one of us. So what should be our response? I like to ask that after every message I hear, and if the speaker doesn't ask it, I ask it of myself, and I encourage you to do the same. What should be my response? What's my response to this today? two things. Number one, I want you to leave in awe. I want you to go outside after the service today and just have a look at the sun. I think the sun is shining out there. Go have a look and be in awe. Don't look right at the sun. Just check it all out. Be in awe. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. And the second thing I want you to do is this word reflect. Our response is not only to bask in the sun and receive its goodness, but it's to reflect it by the way that we live. The sun is great for growth, that the plants are receiving it, but if it weren't for the response of that plant to do something with what they've received, then you and I would not be alive today. I've got two scriptures for you as we finish up. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Matthew 5:14-16. He's talking to us here. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Here it is. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our response to this love, our response to this life is simply to hold up a big mirror that faces out, to reflect the light that we are seeing into other people around us, to glorify Jesus in every aspect. And you know how to do that? That's when you're going through great times, praise you, God, for what we're going through right now. Praise you for your blessing in my life. And when times are tough, God, I'm looking to you right now, who I know has this in control. You are the Lord of my life. And I have peace in the knowledge that you are sovereign above all this. How much that speaks to people. That's reflecting the love of God to others. So in closing, there is no growth without Jesus. We could grow in every other area of our lives, but it is nothing compared with the healthy growth that comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. My prayer for us today is that we would allow the power of the work of Jesus to be outworked in our lives and into the lives of others. Remember that quote we read at the start? Nothing is more important to us on earth than the sun. Without the sun's heat and light, the earth would be a lifeless ball of ice-coated rock. The sun warms our seas, stirs our atmosphere, generates our weather patterns, and gives energy to the growing green plants that provide the food and oxygen for life on earth. The sun is not just helpful when it comes to growth. He is critical. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your creation that we can look to and understand just a glimpse of your glory, of your majesty. Father, I pray today that you would continue to open our eyes to the way that you are at work in our world. And Father, above all that, we can look at the sun, we can look at the stars, we can look at the plants, we can look at the beauty of all creation. But Father God, I pray today that when we look into the eyes of other people, that we would understand even more of who you are. We would understand your glory and your majesty in creation and Father God, in your people. Father, break our hearts for others, we pray. Lord Jesus, give us the opportunity to be a light reflector to them. Father, we thank you for the journey that you have us on as a church and as individuals, that growth journey. We are looking forward to what you are going to continue to do. Father God, but we know that it can start today. We can take that next step today. We can shoot that message off to that person today. We can give them a call today. We can go around to their house and drop something on their porch today. Father, we thank you that you have given us the ability to be a blessing. We thank you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, I just want to speak to people about that word gravity. And this came just as I was just praying before the service. The gravity that sits in this perfect balance, our orbit around the sun. And what gravity does, it draws things towards the center. And I don't know, I can't see you here today, but I just am so thankful that you've joined us this morning. And whether it's your first time or whether you've been at church many times or watched church many times before, Jesus at the center has this powerful gravity and he's drawing you towards him. And if you're sitting here today and you wonder who Jesus is and you'd like to begin a relationship with him or you'd like to take a step closer to him today, then I just want to pray for you. We have a part of our website that is dedicated to this response, lmc.org.au/Jesus, and it gives you this great detail about who Jesus is and what this decision is to make him Lord of your life. But essentially, we're saying, God, I know I can't do this by myself. God, I am catching a glimpse that there is more to life than this, and realistically, there is not much else that compares to knowing you, Jesus. Like Matt said before, it's not just a decision for the now. This is a decision for eternity. And so I just want to pray for you wherever you're at right now, whenever you're listening to this. If we just all close our eyes and we respond to you, Jesus. Father, I lift up every person who is responding in their hearts to you right now, to that drawing of you, Jesus, that drawing of us closer to you. Father God, right now, I pray that they would know your presence where they're at. Holy Spirit, that they would know that you are there right with them now. And that Jesus, that you are available to everyone. And so, Father, I pray that as they open up their hearts to you right now, that Jesus, you would make your home in their lives. And just as he's doing that, you can just pray this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Please come into me. Please forgive my sins. I turn to you now. I believe that you are Lord. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose again. And right now, I decide to give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give those people a hand in this room and at home. You've done an amazing job with that decision. We would love to chat to you more about it. Church, I hope you have a great day today. I hope your eyes are open to the wonder and awe of our mighty God.
Welcome to my home as we share communion together today. First of all, can we pray? Father, we've come to this time to draw near to you and to share these precious moments with you and with each other. May the eyes of our hearts be opened to see Jesus and the wonder and love and ownership he has of us through his wonderful sacrifice for us. Amen. Reading from the Amplified Bible, Luke 22:15. Jesus said to his disciples, I have earnestly and intensely desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This was an expression of heartfelt urgency from Jesus. I wonder what that earnestness and intensity was all about. Was it because he was about to suffer? Or was it because he would have his children at home with him? His father would have his children at home with him as we sat together in heavenly places. This was always his father's plan. He predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will. Jesus fulfilled that plan for his Father and for us. We read from Hebrews 12:2b, Jesus said, Who for the joy, Paul said, who for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of our Father, the perfect right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity and his authority and the completion of his work. This perfect man became sin for me and freed me from my guilt and shame. Moving on now to Luke 22, 19 and 20. And when he had taken bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Before we remember these elements and take them, I'd like to reflect a bit on how I discovered the love of Jesus for me. I'd just like to tell you a little of the story of the way in which I came to discover communion and the preciousness of it. When I was 11 or 12 years old in year 7, our class was instructed to take aside from studies for 5 days to remain silent and meditate on our lives, both at school and at home, as much as we could. Each morning we would go into chapel and were taught about our first communion and what it meant. One of the nuns taught us that at communion, Jesus would live in my heart for 15 minutes. At that moment, my life was changed. Having that time with him in my heart, I wouldn't be alone and I wouldn't be frightened anymore. Jesus would be with me and he would keep me safe. After that, I would get up early every morning and go across the road to St. Pat's. After communion, I would leave straight away. I'd walk up and down the plantation in Albert Street because I wasn't going to share that 15 minutes with anybody but Jesus. One morning, I even remembered asking Jesus if he had measles or mumps. At that moment, I felt a presence of love and intimacy and passion with him that has never left me. I knew that his protection would always be with me and he would live in me, not for 15 minutes, but forever. He has been faithful to me and I am passionate now for my precious Lord, learning from his law, from his word and from the Holy Spirit, guiding and protecting me. Jesus said, "I have earnestly and intensely desired to have this Passover with you." What will you affectionately remember as you take communion? Is it a ritual or a habit? Or is it receiving his intimacy and love for you? His broken body and spent blood was for us. Let's eat together and for a moment pause to enjoy him and he with you. After our time of reflection, I will conclude with a prayer. Lord, take these moments that you yearn to have with us, a place in our minds and hearts where the world cannot intrude. Seal for us all the preciousness of your intimacy with us, so freely given for us to share with you. Amen.